today on Real Radio.
Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. Did you know that? Call 1-800-JEREMIAH-333. That's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, you call me, he says, call me, and I'll come. God is saying, call me, America, call me, just call me, and I'll come.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 21, we looked at how night vision is seeing in the dark what others don't see. Isaiah had what was like a night vision from God of future events. God's going to bring justice to the people of Israel by punishing Babylon. The people never saw it coming, which really troubled Isaiah. Babylon is eventually delivered, but it's better to do what's right in the first place than to try to get back what's already been lost. Now in chapter 22, Isaiah sees trouble ahead for the nation of Judah and for the city of Jerusalem. Now God is going to punish them for worshiping other gods. So today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we avoid responsibility by not helping others or we want our own demands met at everyone else's expense, God responds by removing his protection from our lives. But when we repent and return to him, well, he's there for us. And now continuing his lesson called When God Gets Lost, Part 1. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah's prophesying, and this is amazing, that their governmental leaders would abandon them in the time of difficulty and danger, that they would abandon their positions and they would go about to seek themselves, government leaders. Could you ever imagine having government leaders that would only make decisions and do for themselves that which betters them and not you? Could you imagine having government leaders that are just absolutely absorbed with self, gives themselves raise when the economy is crashing? Do I sound like Isaiah? Do you see the amazing similarities? Your government leaders, he's speaking to Judah. They're in power. They're ministers to bless you. They've split. The army's invading. They took off. They cut the first plane out of town. Wow. Isaiah 22, verse 5 tells us that, as we read it a moment ago, it's a day of trouble. Some Bible scholars, and I have to agree with them, because you guys are well taught on Wednesday nights regarding the near and far fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Some what's called eschatologists, those are professors of the Word of God, the Bible, regarding prophetic teachings, see here now a shift in the near, yes, but the far fulfillment regarding the tribulation period in the nation of Israel, because the verbiage Isaiah uses, for it is a day of trouble, is a code word, is one of those buzzwords that in the time of Israel in the tribulation period, it's referenced with that statement, with that saying. But unbelief has led to this horrific judgment that's coming. Church, here's the reason why. Because of unbelief, they began to tolerate these foreign idols and stuff. They were bringing them in. You can read other books of the Bible. Ezekiel is one of them, where people who said, praise the Lord, hallelujah, which is a Hebrew word, hallelujah, Yah, God's name, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Did you know that while they're saying praise the Lord, they had their idols of Baal, they had their trinkets of Diana, or they had these various gods. Think of it. And just to be sarcastic, I'll put it this way. They went to church on Sunday, but they had their idols from Monday to Saturday. Or in this case, they would go to synagogue on Saturday, and they would have their idols from Sunday to Friday, right? Oh, hallelujah. And as soon as they got out, they went back to their idols, and they began to tolerate their idols. They had brought in these other gods, these other gods, which we know from the New Testament. Paul warns us in the book of Corinthians that to have idols is to actually open up the door to demonic activity in your life, because demons travel and traffic around idols. And God had been warning them and warning them and warning them, but they didn't part with it. And they looked around. They said, well, wait a minute. And this is dangerous. Watch this. Hey, we're doing all this stuff. We are, listen, the word is pantheistic. You ever heard of that? Pan. Pantheistic is to believe in all the gods so you don't offend any of the gods. The Greeks were pantheists. Remember when Paul in Acts 17 went to Mars Hill and he's walking up the main boulevard right there? And he's walking up the road and on a line along the highway or the roadway are all these podiums and pedestals with all these various gods on it. And there's a god like that and a god like that. And there's all these names of these different gods. And Paul was walking, looking, and he said, well, my goodness, this is one religious town. And then there's the one, because the Greeks didn't want to offend any of the gods, so they had one that was empty, a pedestal, and it said, to the unknown god, so we don't offend if we missed one. And Paul, in his brilliance, said, hey, you Athenians, I want to talk to you about this one right here, to the unknown god. All these other gods, they're all fake compared to this one. It is awesome. Read Acts 17 later. It's amazing. It should be, if I was the dictator of America, I'd have it inscribed on every university campus entrance of the gate there, you know, that all the other gods have got to bow down to the God of heaven and earth. That has started a riot. Why? Why? Because we have tolerated foreign gods. We have tolerated idols. We have forgotten the God of heaven and earth. When God gets lost, it's because, listen, it's not that he's somehow vacant. God gets lost when we leave him. Didn't Jesus warn the church at Ephesus? Return to your first love. We can lose God. It's a very scary and dangerous thing if you think about it. Verse 8, watch what happens. He removed the protection of Judah. So God says, you forgot me. You've lost me. So listen, I'm removing my protection from you. Just a question. Has God removed his protection from America? Just asking. You looked, that is the word trusted, you trusted or you looked in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. So you see the invaders coming, so you went and looked in your armory and you said to yourself, we're good, we've got bullets, we've got guns, we've got horses, we've got chariots, we're good. Verse 9, you also saw the damage of the city of David, that it was great. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool, that is to ward off the siege. They're thinking, okay, if we're going to be attacked, like Isaiah says, then we're going to be very well armed. And what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that we protect our water supply. You guys, in a few weeks or in a week and a half, we are literally going to go, remember this and tap me on the shoulder when we're there. We are going to go through the reference right here in this verse where it says you've secured the water supplies. We are going to go inside underground in Jerusalem, if you can handle it. We're going to go on a hike. But it's underground. It's under the city. And we're going to go through tunnels that are 3,000 years old. We will go down. In fact, we are going to go through a tunnel that has it's never changed. It's never been touched. It's the tunnel that David himself walked in to come up into the city of the Jebusites in Jerusalem. And we're going to walk it. We're going to walk through that water conduit that he's referencing right here, right now. And we're going to cry with smiles on our faces. Remember that? Isaiah 22. Among other portions of the Bible. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem, verse 10, and the houses you broke down to fortify the wall, verse 11. You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool. We'll see that. Watch this. But you did not look to its maker. Notice in your Bible, capital M. nor did you have respect for him who fashioned it long ago. You fortified, you had the, you looked around and you said, man, you know what? We've got a good, strong military budget. We've got all this weaponry. We've got all the stuff to defend us. We've secured our electrical grid. I mean, our water supply. We've got all this stuff done. And you know what? Let's do it. We're good. We can defend ourselves. If a siege is laid against us, we've got water and we've got weapons and we're good. They boasted in their own strength. That's a dangerous thing when a nation boasts in its own strength. When a nation forgets God, it will boast in its own strength. Is this sounding familiar? Isn't it amazing? But God says, you didn't consider your maker. You trusted in yourself. And there's a price to be paid for that. The people took measures to prepare themselves, but they didn't prepare their soul. They didn't seek after God. They didn't seek the Lord. And I'm just wondering, just taking the pulse of this nation right now, where you and I are at right now, where are we? I personally believe we have literally entered an age of profound apathy. I don't think God's people care anymore about anything much. Now, God's people really do. I'm just saying God's people. Everybody's a believer these days, right? Sort of, kind of. But do we really, really trust him? Are we looking to him? And what if this nation, I know I'm bumming you out tonight, but we need this. Amen. Look, I mean, we're all big boys and girls, right? This is the real deal. This is the real deal. If you think I'm making this up and we are completely different than what Isaiah is speaking about, then why is it that we are court-martialing and throwing out of our military chaplains who pray in Jesus' name? Why in the United States Air Force is there a contingency of Islamic Muslim clerics growing in the United States Air Force more than any other branch? Why? Because they've tolerated foreign gods. And they've sequestered Christianity and they're letting everything else happen. The God of heaven is watching this. He's watching, he's listening. And he will not be silent. He will act. We can never defeat our adversaries unless we understand the mindset of the adversary. And what I mean by that is 1 Peter 5:8. Listen to what Peter says to us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Stay alert is what it means. Be vigilant. Watch out. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice the strategy. The devil walks around. The devil is stalking your home. How many of you are single? Raise your hands. You're single. The devil is stalking single people. I heard someone yesterday at a store. I really wanted to butt in, but I figured I better keep my mouth shut, but there were two workers at a store talking to one another, and the one worker said to the other, oh, they're two young people. Oh, I'll never get married. Marriage is too scary. It's a disaster. I've not seen any good marriages. And my heart broke. My heart broke. Isn't that a great plot of Satan? To cause the young people today to become disillusioned with marriage? And it's true. You know what? You have to work at marriage. Marriage is tough. It's hard. Marriage is a ministry. It is. I'm serious. Well, didn't God give us marriage to make us happy? No. No, he did not. He gave us marriage to make us holy. There's nothing happy about cleaning up the vomit of your wife that has the flu because she couldn't get to the bathroom in time. Does that make you happy? No, but it makes you holy. If you love her, you're going to clean it up. When her car's dirty, you wash it. And when he's tired and you guys, you know, you're home alone there and you rub his feet. Oh my gosh, really? It's a sacrifice. Oh, okay. Now just calm down, ladies. How about this? You come home and you're tired and you get a neck. He rubs your neck. It's a ministry. It's to make you holy. Amen. That's right. It's to make you holy. Marriage is a ministry. If you're not interested in ministry, don't get married. But here's the deal. The thing is this. Christianity works the best when it's serving. The more Christianity serves, the stronger your Christianity gets. And listen to this, the greater your faith becomes. You know, I don't know why, because when you put yourself out there to serve, you got to draw strength from the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, then you got to lean on the Holy Spirit to put it into practice. And you got to have all that going for you just to clean up the vomit. I'm serious. I'm serious. Lisa and I have been married. I honestly forgot. How many years is this now? We were married in June 30th of 1979. So 37? Wow, thanks. Wow. I should know that, but it's work. Well, wasn't there rough times? Of course. Oh, if I stay on this, I'm not going to get done with the chapter. You see how this works? You got to work at it. And you got to work at your relationship with God. It's not easy. Everything's pulling, so we forget about God, so we lose him. Everything's pulling. Well, I think I should. And there's your first mistake. Well, you know what I want? No, I don't want to know. We don't do well on our own. Thank God weekends are only 2 days long because we'd destroy ourselves. I'm still in 1 Peter 5, though. He says that the adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's not playing games. Resist him. Isn't that amazing? We can resist him. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood, by the brethren in the world. And I add, our dear brothers and sisters who were once in Lahore, Pakistan, this weekend, are now in heaven above, having been destroyed or martyred in their Easter service. The nation of Judah did everything they could except seek the Lord. And it reminds me of my nation, my country. And it breaks my heart. Franklin Graham is going all around these United States holding prayer meetings in the capitals of 50 states. And you look at the hate mail and the hate stuff against him for doing this. Wow. We need to seek the Lord. When God gets lost and the sin of unbelief grows, our nation begins to put our trust in money. You don't trust God, you're going to trust something. Are we guilty? I'm just wondering. Are we guilty like Judah was of trusting in their income? They trusted in their military. They trusted in their cultural diversity. They trusted in their leaders. They trusted in themselves. The Bible says in Judges 17, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Wow. When there's no leadership, people will do what's right in their own eyes. Verse 12, he goes on, Isaiah 22, verse 12, and at that time the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Lord of heaven's armies, Lord of hosts, called you to weep and mourn. He's speaking to the people. He told you to shave your heads in sorrow for your sins and to wear clothes of burlap or sackcloth to show your remorse. God was calling them to repent. Judah, repent and I'll spare you. Isn't this amazing? Are you guys listening? God says, repent and I'll spare you. Repent. Agree with me that you're heading in the wrong direction and I'll heal you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And I'll heal their land. Just call. Can you imagine? It's like God's in the blocks, ready to save. Call me. Jeremiah 33:3, God's phone number. Did you know that? Call 1-800-Jeremiah 33:3. That's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, you call me, he says, call me, and I'll come. God is saying, call me, America, call me, just call me. And you would think there would be prayer meetings across America at this hour because of the condition of our country. But there's not. Why not? Just call. Shave your head. It's a sign of mourning. Weep. Come. Seek me. We did that, you know, for about a month after 9/11. And I want to ask you something. Think of the book of Isaiah chapter 22 right here now, and think of right here, right now in 2016. Since we were attacked, did we wake up to what Judah is facing in this chapter? Did we wake up to the attack? Did we wake up? And you stop and say, well, wait a minute. How are we doing since 9/11 morally? Did we repent? Did we at least fear God enough to change our morals? I just ask you. And then our ethics as a culture. Our ethics, are we more ethical or less ethical since 9/11? What about our spiritual? What about our spiritual heart as a nation? Are we more bold to cry out to the God of heaven and earth, or have we stepped back in timidity? We've stepped back, haven't we? Isn't this sobering? Look, I've been studying this all day today. I couldn't wait to get it off my chest and give it to you too now. This is serious stuff, and yet it's all true. Oh my goodness, look at verse 13. But instead of weeping and all that stuff and repenting, but instead joy and gladness. Party! Slaying oxen and killing sheep. Slaying oxen would be, look, you're having a great time, you're having a ball, you're going to In-N-Out, and you're eating shawarma, eating meat and drinking wine. And look what they said. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You ever hear that statement before? It comes from right here. It's hedonism. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, you know, for tomorrow we die. Let's grab all the gusto we can. Hedonism, just listen, just definition. It's a school of thought that argues that pleasure is the primary or most important intrinsic good. A hedonist strives to maximize net pleasure minus pain, if possible. Ethical hedonism is the idea that all people have the right to do everything in their power to achieve the greatest amount of pleasure possible for themselves. You see, it works on paper, and it works in the classroom at the university, but it never works in reality.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets Lost, Part 1. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We really do appreciate it. And our hope is that you stay close to the Lord, where true happiness can be found. When God Gets Lost, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was actually born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk, and you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.